702, the Midday Report with Mandy Wiener.
Live, streaming countrywide.
On the Prime Media Plus app.
DStv Channel 856.
92.7.
And 106 FM.
Coming up on the show today, the MK Party wins its logo fight with the ANC in court. Three men linked to the Rand Water execs hit appear in court. We'll look at why GBV cases are being struck off the roll in the Western Cape. An update from the Minister of Electricity as we're on a load-shedding free streak. And a special report on 30 years of democracy. All of that over the next hour.
702.
Let's walk the talk.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Midday Report on 702 and Cape Talk with me, Mandy Wiener. Good to be with you today. We'll be bringing you updates from various court cases. The Senzo Meyiwa trial, particularly interesting today. The lawyer representing accused number one, making a number of allegations around what really happened in the house when Senzo Meyiwa was killed. All sorts of allegations around Longwe, Twala being drunk and the weapon being discharged. I think this case is just going in all sorts of different directions and struggling to get clarity on where exactly it is going at the moment. So we'll bring you some audio from that. If you've been following it, let us know what you think. Also, if you listen to the Minister of Electricity, José Ramaphosa, today, what he's been saying, the update, keeping in mind, of course, that we haven't had load shedding for a good over 3 weeks. What does that feel like? As I always say, we are clapping for a fish that's swimming at this point. Lots of people cynical. But the government and the minister are saying that it has nothing to do with elections. Of course not. It's good maintenance at this point. I saw the Eskom chairperson also saying that it has everything to do with maintenance and nothing to do with the elections. Send us a WhatsApp voice note, 072-702-1702, 072-567-1567. Let's start with developments in the High Court in Durban today. Former President Jacob Zuma's Umkhonto weSizwe party defeating the ANC. And this is in the matter that has to do with the logo, the MK Party logo, the MK Party's use of the logo, which the ANC claims is its heritage and its asset. So acting Judge Nicolette Beckett dismissing the ANC's application today. The ANC was looking for an order which would compel the MK Party to pay royalties or damages for its use of the logo, which very much does resemble that of the ANC's former armed wing, Umkhonto weSizwe. The ANC also wanted the MK Party to stop using that logo. Nhlanhla Mabaso, EWN's KZN reporter, was in court for us. Nhlanhla, good afternoon to you. Take us through the ruling handed down by acting Judge Nicolette Beckett.
Well, Mandy, it was a very short proceedings. In fact, less than 2 minutes, she sat in court, ordered the media not to, pan the camera her way because she didn't want it to be known. But she ended that judgment, and it was not even a minute that she spoke. She spoke about the application that was brought by the ANC trying to prevent former President Jacob Zuma from using the logo and name associated to its former armed wing during apartheid, Umkhonto weSizwe. So the ANC's argument is basically that the MK Party or its former President Jacob Zuma is stealing from the party. But the MK Party also argued to say that given the fact that the ANC even disbanded the same Umkhonto weSizwe twice, it doesn't stand no ground to can challenge anything linked to the Umkhonto weSizwe. But that judgment basically said the ANC's application was dismissed with cause. And of course, we had that reaction from the MK Party celebrating in court. Maybe, Mandy, let's take a listen also to the interim leader, Jabulani Khumalo.
Today, we are so happy, and we want the whole world to know we have won and with cost. So the ANC has been whipped, and they know.
So that's Jabulani Khumalo, the interim leader of the MK Party, reacting. The ANC has also been reacting. What have they had to say?
Well, Mandy, for the ANC, this is one matter that shouldn't go without a fight. Rather, the provincial spokesperson Mafika Mdebele arrived in court shortly after the court proceedings, basically saying that the ANC will not let this matter rest. And let's take a listen to Mafika.
Here we are not fighting about anything. We are fighting about the legacy and the brand ANC. If Jacob Zuma have called his party a Zuma party, Umshiniwami party, Nkandla party, or whatever dance and whatever funny stuff that is associated with, we would have not have a problem with the ANC. We would have allowed the guy to exercise his democratic right. But because the guy knows that he's not a currency as he claimed, because he knows that he's not popular as he claimed, he wants to take away what belongs to the ANC.
That's quite a novel idea, the Mshiniwamin Party. Would you vote for the Mshiniwamin Party? And frankly, so where does this leave the MK and where does it leave the ANC now? I imagine there will be an appeal.
Indeed, the ANC did previously indicate that should they lose this particular application, they will be taking the matter forward. From now is to appeal it in the High Court. If they fail, they say they will approach the Supreme Court of Appeal. They say they will fight this until the apex, which is the Constitutional Court. For them, they say and claim many that this has nothing to do with the upcoming polls. But in their arguments, they also raise many concerns with the fact that this may may confuse some voters because they look at the logo, and some people know the logo for Mkhonto we Sizwe to be associated with the ANC. But MK lawyers argued that this won't be the case. But for the ANC, this is one matter that they say they will challenge until the Constitutional Court.
And then, Nkandla, just a reminder, this is now the third loss for the ANC in this matter against the MK party. What were the other two?
The other two, mainly, the first one was the MK party trying to stop the ANC from using this particular name, saying it was a trademark. But the other one had also to do with the ANC putting papers in court,
deregister the IEC, I think.
As a political party, saying that with the party using their name and logo, they do not qualify to stand as a political party. That was dismissed also at the Bloemfontein Court. That was exactly last month. And then they now came for this particular case. So this is not their first loss to the MK party. The MK party has made arguments that this means, and this for them is one thing that shows that they are here to stay and they will not be going anywhere. In fact, that's what former President Jacob Zuma's daughter, Duduzile Sambu Zuma, said outside court, that they will be continuing to stand as a political party. And of course, though the constitution doesn't allow for someone to run for a third term of presidency, the MK party, for some reason, remain confident that former President Jacob Zuma will be going to union buildings come May 29.
Interesting. And Nhlanhla, thank you very much. Nhlanhla Mabaso, EWN's KZN reporter. It's impossible with the constitution as it stands for former President Jacob Zuma to be elected president again. But Duduzile Zuma saying today, as you heard there, we're going nowhere. We're here for the two-thirds majority. Well, let's unpack this case further with Khumisi Khanare, who's an attorney and legal expert. Khumisi, good afternoon to you. Thank you very much for joining us today. So this judgment today in the High Court in KZN, a defeat for the ANC on its application. In terms of the law, is this in line with your expectations?
Yes, it is. Good afternoon, Mandy, and good afternoon to your listeners. It is. There's two ways, in terms of which one can deal with infringement insofar as trademarks are concerned. You can either do it by way of statutory law provisions, which is the Trademarks Act, or you can do it by way of common law, which is passing off. And we saw this matter, traversing the passing off route more than it did the registered trademark rights route, because you would have to, for the registered trademark rights route, you would have to produce a certificate of registration. And, that's not a simple and short process. You would first have to, apply for registration, which we saw the ruling party doing in September last year. And that process can take up to 2 or 3 years, depending on how complicated it is. And this one would be one of those that might be complicated, because it would have to be advertised and people will be invited to oppose if they have issues with that. And we know with the Mkhonto we Sizwe, where there are already issues of who really owns this. And is it something that can be owned in spaces of this nature, or passing off, then that's another way of dealing with this issue.
But what is passing off? How does that work?
So with passing off, you're literally saying, I do not have a registered right by way of a certificate that I got from the CIPC, but I do have an image, a brand that I need to protect, that people are infringing. And there is common law, really. You don't have statutory law to rely on. And it concerns itself mainly with the protection of unregistered trademarks, really. And there, your protection, you know, is established gradually through use. And so you have to go back in time to really, you know, bring about evidence and facts that talk to you having used the thing for a very long time. And, you know, you don't want people then using it, affecting your goodwill, damaging your brand and misrepresenting themselves really in the public, which was the fight in this regard.
Kumisi, thank you so much for explaining that to us. Kumisi Khadare, attorney and legal expert, explaining that judgment in the High Court in Durban today. Acting Judge Nicolette Beckett dismissing the ANC's application against the MK party over its logo.
702. Mandy Wiener.
Weekdays, 12 to 1 p.m.
Let's stay in the courts now. Three men linked to the murder of a Rand Water executive, Tebogo Joala, and his bodyguard, Sifiso Shange, appearing in the Protea Magistrates Court in Soweto today. The three men, all arrested in KZN by members of Gauteng's crime detection tracking team. This incident taking place, you will remember, in January at the Zakaria Park Civic Hall south of Joburg during a back-to-school campaign. A really shocking shooting as it took place in front of many witnesses. Oren Singh, EWN reporter, following that court appearance today. Oren, good afternoon to you. Tell us about this court appearance.
Good morning, Mandy. Well, we initially thought the accused would be appearing in the Protea Magistrates Court, but in fact, at the 11th hour, we found out that it was actually the Lanseria Magistrates Court, which is still within Soweto. So they appeared this morning, a very brief appearance. I must say, Mandy, the public gallery was packed to the brim. There was no space left in the court. Family members present, members of the ANC, and as I understand, Rand Water officials as well present in court this morning. There was a heavy police presence. I counted at least 10 TRT members, that is tactical response team members from Gauteng SAPS, all heavily armed with a rifle, standing guard in court. The three men shackled. Walked up through the court and entered the dock. Kulekani Mduli, Zamukutli Ntumbela, and Lindani Mchali. They were arrested last week Thursday by Gauteng police. Two of them arrested in KwaZulu-Natal at a hideout, and the other one arrested in his vehicle driving from KZN back to Gauteng. Now, Mandy, what I think is important here is that all three of these accused have been charged with the murders of Tebogo Joala and his bodyguard, Sifiso Shange, but they've also been charged with three counts of attempted murder as well. And that includes a City of Johannesburg official who was present there on the 29th of January at Zakaria Park Civic Hall when the shooting occurred. So that case today being heard, the matter was postponed until Monday. All three accused have private representation and are planning to apply for bail on Monday.
Do we have any indication of motive yet?
Nothing as of yet, Mandy. What we do know from speaking to sources is that these three men were possibly linked to the murders via another person who was arrested last month, and that is a 27-year-old Ayanda Ngwenya. He was arrested after being found in possession of a murder weapon, which is believed to have been used in the commission of the crime. And after police arrested him, I can only assume that they questioned him about where he got the firearm or why he was in possession of the firearm. And he may have pointed out these said individuals who appeared in court today. As of motive, I think it's too early days yet, Mandy, for us to establish a motive. And we're hoping that it's going to come out possibly during bail application, which is set down for Monday, going into perhaps Tuesday.
Oren, thank you. Oren Singh, EWN reporter, at that court appearance today. Three men linked to the murder of the Rand Water executive, Tebogo Joala, and his bodyguard. Again, we see this so often, and I always raise concerns about the rise of the mafia state, where we see these targeted assassinations, these hits taking place. Police must be applauded for the fact that they've arrested what appear to be the shooters in this incident, but as always, it is the person who ordered the hit that we want to see prosecuted and convicted. It's very, very difficult to do that. But really, that's what we need to see happen in so many cases. Kluta Murray, Babita Diokaran, the list is long, where we see the shooters being arrested, but not the person who actually ordered the hit.
WhatsApp Mandy
on 072-702-1702.
Good day, Mandy. I think that this ANC losing court cases with the MK party, I think it's fruitless. I think the ANC should focus on campaigning and stop fighting something that is worthless. I think, as they said, one of the speakers in court, they are becoming the whipping boys of MKP. And I am so delighted. Let them whip this ANC on the 29th. Banyaza will see flames in GP.
Thank you very much for that WhatsApp voice note. I tend to agree with you on that point, that I think that all of these court cases are giving the MK party electioneering platforms. I've said it before, and I think that's exactly what's happening here. It's also costing the ANC resources and time and energy. I don't think it has at this point. So I would agree with you that they shouldn't be fighting there. But when it's the history, the legacy, the institution, I think they would argue that it has to be fought. Paulina is saying on the WhatsApp line, why have the ANC not expelled Zuma? Confusing. I don't understand either why they have not expelled Zuma at this point. He's suspended, but he's not expelled from the ANC. If you have any theories, I'm happy to hear those. Let's go to Cape Town now, because in Cape Town, the mayor, Jordan Hill-Lewis, and the premier, Alan Windey, are joining a mass training session for Metro Police and LEAP learnership candidates under the Project 1000 Metro Police Learnership Program. The city is training 1,000 new Metro Police candidates. Remember, of course, this is all against the backdrop of arguments that there should be the devolution of police. So how do they remedy that problem? By introducing more Metro Police, by introducing more LEAP officers, because that's the only way really that they can bolster the capacity. Ntutuzelo Nene, EWN reporter, is looking at this one for us. Ntutuzelo, good afternoon to you. Tell us about what's taking place in Bellville today.
Good afternoon, Mandy. Yes, as you have mentioned, the mayor and the premier and the MACO member for safety and security in the city of Cape Town, JP Smith, they visited the Western Province Rugby High Performance Center in Bellville. Now, this is where the 1,000 trainees that will be deployed as Metro Police officers, traffic officers, and LEAP officers were being put through their paces and demonstrating some of the training techniques they've been working on for the past 5 months. After the completion of the 18-month physical training, there's another on-the-job training, which is also over a period of 18 months. They are then deployed as a force multiplier for the South African Police Service to assist SAPS in fighting crime in the Western Cape and in the city of Cape Town. However, the trainees that are deployed as LEAP officers only get a 3-year contract, while the others are absorbed within the Metro Police and law enforcement on a permanent basis. So we spoke to the mayor, Jordan Hill-Lewis, just to explain to us what happens then to, you know, the trainees who are deployed as LEAP officers who only get the 3-year contracts. What happens to them when those contracts end? Let's take a listen.
That's 7.
So today we're highlighting our Project 1000 program, which is training 1,000 Metro Police law enforcement traffic officers. And a couple of years ago, we would never have been able to do a project like this because our training college was so small. With a relatively small investment, we've put about 30 million rand into our training college for facilities, more professional trainers, and extra classes and so on. And now we can actually have a huge class of trainees, of students, coming through our system, filling our vacancies in LEAP and Metro Police, law enforcement and so on, and adding more boots on the ground in Cape Town to make Cape Town safer. And it was great to see the quality of the training as well. This is 18 months of rigorous training. We expect our officers to be fit. We expect them to be well trained, competent with a firearm, you know, good at the arresting suspects and approaching suspicious vehicles. And you've seen all of that today. Very, very impressive, high standard of training. So it's great to see Project 1000, which was just a kind of dream of ours 2 years ago, that it is actually happening, and these students are now 5 months into the program.
And just to follow up, Mr. Mayor, the investment that you speak of, is it a partnership between the city and the province, or where is this money coming from, and when did this investment actually take place? Like, when was the money, you know, invested in the training program?
So the training investment is entirely the city. But the officers, especially the LEAP officers, when they are actually deployed on the field, that is a partnership with the provincial government. So their salaries are, we split that. But the training investment we have done, and the investment was made last year. So it's better training facilities and additional professional trainers. And I hope you've seen today, some of the trainers we've got are really on top of their game. They're putting these students through their paces properly. And this is important because these students will face very stressful situations when they are deployed. And we don't want them to be learning on the job from that respect when they face a very stressful, hostile situation with a potential criminal or suspect on the streets. They need to click into gear and their training must just work. And that's why this is so important.
And lastly, Mayor, so after the three-year contracts, are they absorbed permanently within the City of Cape Town's Metro Police, law enforcement and other departments that deal with safety?
Remember, Metro Police, law enforcement, traffic are all permanent. It's only LEAP that is on the three-year rotating contracts. That depends very much on whether we get the continuation of the funding from the provincial government, but I'm very confident that we will get it. So then it will roll over onto another three-year contract. And that's the way that we funded it at the moment. And then that is why very often if they get a chance to go to law enforcement or Metro Police, they jump for those vacancies. And why you've got to have constant training through the system so that you don't leave a gap now where that person's taken up a permanent position, all of a sudden there's a gap in LEAP. So we've got to constantly have people coming through the training college to fill in.
Right, Mayor, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's the City of Cape Town Mayor Jordan Hill Lewis speaking to Ntuthuzelo Nene, EWN reporter. Thank you for bringing us that audio.
What's up, Mandy? On 072-702-1702.
The ANC needs to focus on its own issues in the background. Good things now to talk about the load shedding. 21 days, no load shedding. And they need to focus on that and strengthen their election campaigns. Forget about all these court battles and everything else, because it's not going to bring them anything. So, and those who think that the win for MK in the court of law is a guarantee that they will do well in the national elections, they've got another thing coming. Thank you.
Yeah, it's so funny how now they say the Mshiniwam party, the death party. I mean, not so long ago, they were protecting him. Like, good for them. Good for them. Zuma. I wonder what else he has up his sleeves, eh? So bad for the ANC. Like, next time they need to make decisions according to things being ethical and right standing and all those things, instead of protecting some leader that now is working against them. So, yeah, but I like the suggestion of the names, the dense one, and all the funny things that is associated with, which were also associated with ANC, and they were okay with that. Nice show, Mandy.
Thank you very much. Would you vote for the Mshiniwam party? Is there a reason you think Zuma didn't call it the Mshiniwam party? I do think that the ANC is getting distracted. Lucy on the WhatsApp line, Nandi. Is better than Wendy. ANC is wasting their resources and time. Zuma was given his chance to run the country, but he failed. What he did is opening the way for the Guptas. Anonymous saying, ANC cannot expel Jay-Z because they are still undergoing therapy. It doesn't make sense to me that the ANC hasn't expelled Jacob Zuma. They've suspended him. They haven't expelled him. What more does he need to do except literally be the face, the candidate of another political party? And they still haven't expelled him.
702. The Midday Report with Mandy Wiener. Let's walk the talk.
As I mentioned, we are experiencing a streak of load shedding free electricity at the moment. The minister in the presidency responsible for electricity, Dr. José Nsoramakgopa, has been holding a briefing, as he very frequently does every week, on the Energy Action Plan implementation. Mongezi Koko, EWN reporter, bringing us the latest on that. Mongezi, good afternoon. Lots of questions around political interference, whether this is electioneering. Take us through what José Nsoramakgopa had to say.
Well, Mandy, let's start off with how he walked in. José Enzo was very confident this time around. Of course, we can attribute some of that confidence to the 21-day streak, like you said, of a power interruption-free South Africa. Now, José Enzo started off by saying that he's really, really proud of the competent employees at Eskom who have managed to, in inverted commas, turn things around. So he basically started off by praising them and thanking them. And then he went on, Mandy, to explain that the Energy Action Plan is being implemented swiftly and is being implemented in accordance to what they had prescribed in the beginning. I want you to take a listen to this first clip where he goes on about the improvement that Eskom is seeing.
And that's why you can't speak with great confidence that load shedding is behind us. I'm not about to make that claim. That will be a false claim. That can't be substantiated. And I think the relationship that we've built with the South African public, so that we are going to be brutally honest.
And what else did you have to say about our load shedding free streak?
Well, then he touched on political parties. Now, José Enzo Ramkgopa started off by saying, Bandy, that there is no political interference at Eskom. He even used himself as an example, saying that he can't pick up the phone and call the new CEO, Dan Morane, and say to him that let there be no load shedding at whatever cost. He said that there's no, absolutely no political interference, and that the people who are spearheading Eskom at the moment have their reputations to lose if anything could go wrong. So I want you to take a listen to this second clip.
We will not use the grid to play political football. I've been giving this update consistently. We've been showing the lines, the trend lines. We've been sharing with you scientifically what is the kind of performance that we are making. We'll refuse to be drawn into that domain.
Yeah, Mongezi, so José Enzo Ramakgopa really saying that we shouldn't be using this big improvement, 26 days we are now, to be accurate of no load shedding, as an electioneering tool.
Well, then he turned things around because he then touched on other politicians. In fact, he made mention of the leader of the main opposition, not naming him, perhaps not to give him credit, but then he says he wrote a letter, and within this letter he went into detail about how much the leader of the opposition doesn't know much about the energy crisis or anything that has to do with engineering or turning things around at Eskom. Take a listen to this jab that he made to the DA leader.
Of course, as this other, the leader of the opposition has written a paper, and I think his knowledge about the complex engineering questions is legendary. I think we all know his inherent limitations, and I think we use this platform to also inform and guide. So it's not a political football, it's a resolution of this problem, of course.
Ooh, shady, interesting. Okay, definitely a little jibe there at John Steenhuisen's lack of tertiary qualification. So it's not politicking, it's not electioneering, but it is. And just a point of clarity, I heard a voice note mentioning 21 days of load shedding free. It's 26 days. We must get it right. Eskom also getting hold of us to clarify that. So we're on 26 days of no load shedding at the moment. Thank you to Mongezi Koko for bringing us that audio from the press conference with the Minister of Electricity, José Enzo Ramakgopa, in which he was at pains to say this is not electioneering, there is no political interference at Eskom. What are your thoughts on that?
702. 702. Mandy Wiener.
Weekdays, 12 to 1 p.m.
We are, of course, in election season, very much in election season, and the UDM leader, Bantu Holomisa, General Bantu Holomisa, is leading a door-to-door campaign in Soweto today in an effort to gather some support for the elections. Alpha Ramashwana, EWN reporter, is there. Alpha, good afternoon to you. Tell us about the UDM's campaign today.
Good afternoon, Mandy. Yes, correct. We are indeed in election season, and as you know, approaching or leading up to any election, we see political parties mushrooming on the ground, engaging with South Africans, ordinary South Africans who they hope would vote for them. Well, today we're seeing the UDM's leader, Bantu Holomisa, and the delegation from the party moving around Soweto, really just engaging with the residents here, you know. And one thing he's saying a lot is criticizing the ANC, is encouraging the people of Soweto not to vote for the ANC, as he lists some of the failures they've done in the last 30 years. In fact, Bantu Holomisa, you know, today we've seen him hugging kids, kissing babies. We've seen him handing out, you know, pamphlets We've seen him buying food for impoverished people here in Soweto. Really, most of the things that we see during election season playing out, we're seeing Bantoholo Misa doing them today. But of course, we do know that in 2014, the UDM got 1% of the vote, and then in 2019, they declined to 0.5%. And Bantoholo Misa is saying that they are hoping to get more seats in parliament. They are hoping to grow their support after the 2024 general elections. But he says he's not bothered that his party only has two seats. He says that they've managed to do a lot with those two seats. As you would remember, they were influential in calling for the minister, the Speaker of Parliament, Nosiviwe Mapisa-Ngqakula, to step down after her controversies a few weeks ago. So Bantoholo Misa is effectively here saying that while they want more seats in Parliament, it's not the end of the world if they don't get those seats. Let's take a listen to what he had to say about that.
With those two seats, we have made an impact. It is today, it is us today who have made it possible that SAA is stopped, not to be sold for 51 rands. It is the UDM which has caused for the Speaker of the Parliament to be sitting at home as we speak. Tell me, what about those parties which have got about 268? What have they done? It is the UDM also which is fighting for ex-civil servants to get their pensions. It is the UDM also which is fighting for UIF funds to be given to the people who are retrenched. What is that 260 members of MPs of ANC are doing?
That's the UDM leader Bantoholo Misa, who is campaigning today in Soweto.
And now it's back to Mandy Wiener on the Midday Report.
This is 702.
Let's walk the talk.
12:47 on the Midday Report. Let's give you a quick update on what's happening in the Senzo Meiwa trial. So we have seen actual evidence being led now, forensic evidence. But I think the big talking point today is around comments made by the lawyer representing the accused number one, Tulani Mgomezulu. He's been putting forward a narrative that perhaps is a popular one among some people on social media, but not necessarily the argument being made in the court of law. Let's have a listen to Tulani Mgomezulu, and the sound is courtesy of Newsroom Africa.
Longwe, when he came to Kelly Kumalo's house, he was drunk. He was in possession of a 38 special revolver. According to my witnesses, there were three shots that were fired. And there were three people that were injured as a result. Senzo was shot dead.
Senzo was shot.
Long was shot himself on the leg. In his ankle. And the other shot is the one that was fired on the floor. As a result, Zandi was injured. There were three people that were
injured. So that's Tulani Mgomezulu, who is the lawyer for the first accused, proposing a narrative that perhaps has gained some traction on social media. Let's get some context to this. Khomotso Modise, EWN reporter, is following this trial. She's also here to speak about a special project she's done on 30 years of democracy. So we'll get to that. But let's first deal with this, because it's happening right now. Just give us some context here. Why is this coming out now?
Tulani Mgomezulu, lawyer for the first accused, has been cross-examining Sergeant Batho Bakai Mogola, who is a part of the investigations team. And during his cross-examination, he's done something really strange. He's been swinging between dockets. So, you know, there's the docket 375
yes.
that alleges that the people in the house know what happened to Senzo. They murdered him. And that's the docket that the state had decided not to go ahead with, right? So he's gone into that docket to dig up some statements. And those are the statements where some of these allegations are being made. Something interesting that happened a little earlier is that what he's just spoken about, this theory around Longwe Twala, he says the person that confirmed this is actually Orlando Pirates owner Ivan Khoza. And he says Khoza confirmed this to the brother of Senzo Meiwa, Sifiso Meiwa, while they were organizing the funeral, Senzo's funeral. And he says, you know, it was Khoza who said to Sifiso, listen, there were no intruders in the house. I know for a fact that the people in the house murdered Senzo Meiwa. Now, the state's George Baloyi has had a really busy morning because he's been standing up, you know, every other second to just object to this line of cross-examination. And at some point, he notes that actually Ivan Khoza has refuted these claims, saying he's distanced himself from everything that's in Sifiso Meiwa's statement. And then we heard Ngomezulu saying he's going to subpoena Khoza to come to court and actually deny these allegations in court.
Sure, that would be quite something to see Ivan Khoza subpoenaed to testify in this trial. This trial's murkier and murkier, so we'll try and keep you updated on that. So Khamoto, we actually asked you to come into studio to speak about a special project that you've been working on as part of EWN's Democracy Special, 30 Years of Democracy. You sat down with Justice Albie Sachs. Tell us about that.
Yes, I mean, it was, a conversation just full of a lot of reflection. Justice Albie Sachs, for those who don't know, was part of that very first bench of the Constitutional Court in the new South Africa. But he was also part of the ANC's Constitutional Committee. And this is a committee that he speaks about quite fondly, that he says was formed in Kabwe while he was in exile. And he, you know, actually speaks about how, you know, there's many people that say he's the father of the democracy or the father of the Constitution. They speak about him as one of the major founding figures. But he says if we were really to take the paternity test on the Constitution, it would all go back to Oliver Tambo. And he speaks very fondly about him. But I think another interesting part, and our listeners can hear this on ewn.co.za, is how he refutes this idea that the Constitution is Eurocentric and was created by Europeans. He says it was the Europeans that wanted him and, quite frankly, the ANC government to, you know, take care of the interests of the white minority. And they fought vehemently. He says it was created by Africans for Africans. It's the 1980s. You're in exile. Many others are in exile. I mean, where do you even get off thinking that you can start making contributions and plans towards a constitution when the country is in flames, quite literally?
That's why you need a constitution, so that we don't have flames, so that issues can be resolved without killing each other and locking each other up. And I had that enormous good fortune of working with, if you really did a real paternity test on the Constitution, the DNA would come up would be Oliver Tambo. Oliver Tambo, O.R. In exile, 1985, he gets a group together, Zola Squier, Professor Jack Simons, Kata Asmal, Ted Pakani, Bridget Mabandla joined us afterwards, Job Botswana and Albie Sachs.
Paolo Jordan?
Paolo Jordan was the thinker. He came up with the idea. He was a bit critical of us, thinking we were rather bourgeois crowd. But he came up with a core idea, because then the big battle was over what to do about the whites. They became the center of the whole constitutional thing. How can you protect the minority interests? And we are saying, no. Majority of people are oppressed. They want rights. But they want rights in a way that will enable everybody to live as free human beings.
Oh, so compelling listening to Justice Albie Sachs. I heard him speak at an event a couple of weeks ago, and when he speaks about the Constitution and that era, it really is powerful. You can go listen to that full interview that Khamoto Modise has done with the former Constitutional Court Justice Albie Sachs as part of EWN's Democracy Special as we mark 30 years of democracy.
Sports Wrap.
Sports Wrap.
On 702 and Cape Talk.
Mwanda Mateza joining us in studio. It's such a pity it's not a Friday because, I would love to hear your colleague speak about Manchester United yesterday. What were they were up like 3-0, right?
Yeah.
And then they almost lost on 4-3.
it went like, to a penalty shootout.
It went to a penalty, but that goal was offside.
The goal that was ruled
out. Against Coventry,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely, 100%. I cannot tell you how much. I thought that the game was dead. It was dead and buried. United are leading 3-0. They threw to the final. Easy street cruising. And it was not to be. And I'm actually at a loss to explain what happened. And Erik ten Hag, the United manager as well, afterwards was just couldn't really explain it as well. But chose to look at the positives and chose to look at the brighter side of everything, the fact that they threw. And I think it's indicative of reflective rather, of the whole season that Manchester United has had. Terrible performances, but somehow managed to scrape through, and they did it once again. And it's not the sort of performance that would win them anything, especially if they're playing against Man City in that sort of form. But yeah, it's one of the things they're through to the final, second one in two seasons. So yeah, I don't think anybody minds that much, but it was potentially an embarrassing set of circumstances yesterday.
Kaizer Chiefs?
Yeah, they're also in a rut at the moment. They've only won one game since the turn of the year, one in the last eight league games. And they lost once again to Richards Bay yesterday and are now 10th on the DStv Premiership table. And also worryingly for Amakhosi is that they've only scored in those eight games, they've only scored three goals and have not scored any in their last four games. And you just don't know where a goal is going to come from. And one of the things, again, that I would be worried about as a Kaizer Chiefs fan is the fact that the performances are so dull and uninspiring. And it doesn't look like they're a side who really have any sort of confidence. And it looks like a lot of them want the season to end. And I would imagine that a lot of Amakhosi fans are just looking forward to the end of the season as well, because at the moment, this is terrible. And there's no hiding from that.
Take us through the URC results over the weekend.
Yeah, quite a surprise that the Lions were the only South African team that ended up winning. They were playing against Leinster, who are at the top of the table.
But there was like a third string.
Yeah, but it's
side.
One of those things with Leinster that they sent a third string side to come and play the Lions. And whether it's a case of underestimating their opponents or whether it's a case of resting some of their international stars who play for Ireland, that is neither here nor there. A good victory for the Lions, who stay in contention for a playoff spot. And it doesn't really change Leicester's position on the table either. However, there is a worry for the Bulls and the Stormers. The Bulls are still hanging on to fourth position at the moment, which means that they would have a home playoff game. It would have been a lot more comfortable had they got the victory over Munster. However, that wasn't to be as well, with Johan Huysen getting a red card and changing the face of that game. And then Munster ended up going and winning that one 27-22. And for the Stormers as well, they're struggling with consistent performances. It doesn't seem like they can play two games in a row where they produce quality performances, and once again ended up losing to Ospreys of all teams. And also just hanging on, still at sixth on the table, I think it is, still in the playoff positions. However, they also seem to be making it a little bit more difficult for themselves than it needs to be.
Did you watch the last episode of Chasing the Sun 2 last night?
No, I'm going to as soon as I get out of the office.
If any of you watched it and did not cry, you are not human. There were two lines, one of which I cannot say on the radio, from Russi and from Jacques Ninaba. The one is, stop talking beep about our country. And the other one is, don't let them script our movie. And that's just a message for all of us, a lesson for all of South Africa. It's such a great series. If you haven't watched it yet, I wonder you have to.
Will do.
It's amazing. And then just lastly, it's so good to see Ruud finally actually win.
It's incredible that he's a top 10 ranked player, and yesterday was his first ATP 500 win. I found that stat to be incredible, and I didn't believe it actually when I saw it at the beginning. For Ruud and Tsitsipas, in my mind, they are the two best players on clay outside of the three of Djokovic, Alcaraz and Nadal at the moment. And I would think that they would compete at Roland Garros, which is the one that they're all after. And I think it's probably the most open season. And also, once again, I think it was really good for his confidence getting one over Tsitsipas after losing the Monte Carlo final last week. So yeah, Casper Ruud is looking good as the clay season progresses.
Mwande Mateza, thank you for wrapping up the weekend sport. The Midday Report. And thank you very much for joining us. Don't forget, the ANC is having a press conference now responding to that High Court decision in KZN around the logo of the MK party. As so many of you have pointed out, the ANC being distracted by many of these court cases and just giving the MK party the opportunity to electioneer. So let's see what the ANC has to say about this.